So this weekend, my son Cole and I finally found ourselves in a cold, dark theater. And we got to watch this brand new movie, Superman, that released this weekend. And I've been trying to think about how to summarize this 2 hour and 20 minute movie in just 2 or 3 minutes with you, and also not spoil the movie for you, as I'm sure some of you will be going to see it. And so maybe I'll just give it a grade in a few places. First of all, for like action, I think some of the action was incredible, guys. I'd probably give it an A. And when it comes to special effects, some stuff I have never seen before in my life, probably an A or A plus in special effects. When it comes to humor, probably like a C. Not super funny, not a lot of humor in there. When it comes to romance, I'd probably give it like a D minus. There was like hardly any romance, which, by the way, is perfect, right? For a guy's movie and for a guy's weekend. As I think about it, though, and the movie, and again, not wanting to spoil it for you, but I think the most poignant part of the movie for me came midway through the movie, where Kevin Costner, who plays Superman's dad on this earth, looks at him and says this: "You are just going to have to decide what kind of man you want to be, Clark." And man, when he said that in the theater, I got goosebumps, and it was really powerful and prophetic to me, probably for two reasons. First of all, I'm a man, and secondly, I'm a Clark, okay? So I felt like in the theater, he was looking right at me, and I'm thinking, yes, Kevin Costner, I will become that man, you know? And so it was a little bit strange for me in the movie theater, and as I've calmed down a little bit, I have come to realize that he wasn't just talking to me, it's actually all men that have to decide what kind of dad, what kind of father, what kind of husband we want to be. And I want you to know that today's message that I'm going to share with you, I think it can apply really to anyone, but it has been specifically written and designed for dads today, and also dudes. You know who dudes are, right? Dudes are guys who are going to become dads someday, and you're going to need this stuff as well. Most of you know that CCV is a church that strives to reach men. We want to grow men. We want to help men win. So whether you are a dad or whether you are a dude, we want you to win. And the reason we want you to win is because we want your whole family to win as well. So today I want us to talk for just a little while about how we can be a super dad. Now notice I didn't say a perfect dad. There's one overarching principle that I want to make sure that we understand today as soon as we dive into this study. If you're taking notes, here's the principle. There is no such thing as a perfect dad on this earth. No perfect dads on this earth. Every single dad, every single dude is flawed in some way. The only perfect father, there's only one perfect father, and that's our heavenly father, right? That is God. So this message, Super Dad, is not about us discovering the secret formula to being perfect. It's not about the secret sauce of being a perfect dad, that one day if we work really hard and we try really hard and we pray really hard, maybe one day we will be a perfect dad. That is not what this message is about. This message is about improving. It's about progress. It's about being a better dad tomorrow than we were today. So on this Father's Day weekend, I want to share with you some leadership lessons from the Bible and also from the world of sports. I played sports all my life, soccer. And a lot of what I know about being a leader, a lot of what I know about being a dad comes from the world of sports. So if you're taking notes, I would suggest the first thing about being a super dad, it's a lot like being a groundskeeper. A groundskeeper. One of the main responsibilities, as you know, of a groundskeeper is to make sure that the boundaries are clear and easily visible. Now think about a baseball game, for instance, when there's like a rain delay that comes in. The groundskeepers pull the tarp over the baseball field, and then when the rain goes away, they pull it back. And all these groundskeepers, what do they start doing? They start relining the field so that everybody can see where the bases are and things like that. Or let's say a football game. Later on in the fall, sometimes snow comes and you see all these groundskeepers scurrying around, shoveling off all the hash marks so that people can see where the boundaries are in the football game. And here's a principle that I would share with you about groundskeepers, and that is a good groundskeeper creates clear boundaries. That's just a good leadership principle because I think it's the same way for dads. I really do. I think good boundaries actually bring blessings to our kids and to our families. Now, these boundaries, of course, are not easy. Creating clear boundaries is tough, and it's not a one-time thing. You don't just create the boundaries to your family and then you're done. And the reason that is because storms come into your family. And the question is not if storms will come into your family. The question is only when and where will these storms hit. Over the last few days, I've been kind of just writing down examples of different storms that clash into the lives of people and families. And maybe you can relate to some of these. I think about my friend Tim, who just recently lost his dad. And it completely changed the boundaries of their family. It completely blurred the boundaries when he lost his dad. I think about my friend Doug, who just got a divorce. He didn't really want it to happen, but there's no doubt that divorce fractures the framework of the family and just kind of sends everybody wondering what's going on. Or maybe for you and your family, it's not those things. Maybe it's just a big fight that happens between mom or dad. Or maybe there's some big fights going on between the kids and the parents, and it just messes up the boundaries. Or maybe somebody has lost a job, or maybe somebody got in a car accident and has been in the hospital. Any of those things can be storms that blur the boundaries of the family playing field. A lot of times when we think about storms, we think about those negative things that come into our lives. But I started realizing that it's not just negative things. Even positive things can come into our lives and blur the boundaries. Things like when one of your teenage daughters starts dating. And that's like a tornado, okay? Entering into your family, it just obliterates everything else that had been understood previously. Or maybe a graduation from high school, or maybe one of your kids going to college, or maybe it's a move. Your family moves across town and kids go to new schools, or maybe you move to a different state. My family has made a move in just the last 6 months from Southern California here to Phoenix, and it's been a great thing, but in many ways, it's kind of been a storm for us because it's changed all of our normal boundaries and things that we did and the way we lived. And I would suggest this to you, anything that disrupts the rhythm of the family could be considered a storm. And especially dads, here's what you have to know, that after every storm that comes into your family, there's a huge chance that the integrity of the framework of the family playing field has been compromised. And one of the best things that you and I can do after a storm is just remind everybody where the boundaries are. And listen, I know this is tough. It's much easier said than done. It's tough being a parent. It's tough being a dad. It's tiring, and it's tempting sometimes, isn't it? It's tempting, especially for dads, to say something like this. Hey, maybe we should just let them set some of their own boundaries. Maybe we should just forget about the boundaries. We should just let them set their own boundaries, and if we let them set their own boundaries, maybe there'd be less storms. Guess what? Nothing could be further from the truth. Look at this verse in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15. Wise discipline imparts wisdom. Spoiled adolescents embarrass their parents. You see, listen, boundaries actually bring blessings and freedom to your family. And when you set those boundaries, I would suggest you make sure that they line up with God's word. Make sure those boundaries line up with the Bible, because Bible-based boundaries bring blessings and freedom to your family. Listen to what this verse says in John chapter 8, verse 32. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The more you know about this book, the more we weave this book into our lives and our family, the more freedom we actually find. Here's another person from the world of sports that we can emulate, I think, as leaders and especially as dads, and that is a referee. A referee. Sometimes there's this misunderstood or underestimated truth about consistency. I think consistency is critical. In fact, this is a good leadership lesson. A good referee calls a consistent game. Isn't that true? I mean, think about this. Put your mind in this place. Tomorrow afternoon, the NBA Finals. The Heat are killing the Spurs. Well, really, I thought you'd get into that. The Heat are killing the Spurs. And you have Tim Duncan, who gets the ball, and he comes flying down the court, and he runs right over the top of Dwayne Wade. And he lays the ball in the basket. It goes in, but the referee blows the whistle, says that was a charge, no basket. The very next play, LeBron James gets the ball, comes running down the court, runs right over the top of Tony Parker. Poor little Tony. Runs right over the top of him. Puts it in the basket, makes the basket. The referee blows the whistle, but comes up to LeBron and says, LeBron, you didn't mean to do that, did you? LeBron, you just need to ease up. You're such a big guy. You go say sorry to Tony. Go tell Tony you're sorry. Tell him you're sorry and we'll be okay, right? Listen, that kind of inconsistency will destroy a basketball game. And I know making the call between the block and the charge is one of the hardest things to do, but you have to do it in a basketball game, because there's not a player on the court that wants to participate in a game like that. You see, consistency is critical in basketball, and it's also critical in our homes. And I think sometimes for one of the biggest mistakes that dads and dudes can make is that we allow the rules to the game or the boundaries of the playing field to be in a constant state of change. What was inbounds last week is all of a sudden out of bounds this week. A behavior that incurred absolutely no penalty last week at all of a sudden this week will get you kicked out of the game, right? And frankly, it's not fair a lot of times to our team, to our children, for the boundaries of the family playing field to constantly be fluctuating from week to week. In fact, look at this verse in Ephesians, in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Says, fathers, do not exasperate. Everybody say exasperate. Exasperate. Do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. How do we exasperate our children? I think sometimes we exasperate them or cause considerable anxiety when we allow the boundaries of the family playing field to fluctuate from day to day or week to week. Our family, our team, our kids, leaders, dads, they need to know that what was a foul last week is going to be a foul this week, both from mom and from dad. And I know that's tough because I know those little players on our team, they are brilliant at dividing us, aren't they? I mean, and they just are. It's crazy. And it's so hard, especially if your officiating crew has been divided by divorce or something like that. But here's what I would say to you. To the very best of your ability, as much as it's up to you, be certain and strive for consistency. And again, the very best way to strive for consistency in our lives and with our families is to make sure that the boundaries are based on God's word, right? Not just what you think or what you feel. And here's why. You know this, but what you think, what I think, what we feel will change from season to season of life. But the boundaries and the guidelines in this book never change. They're consistent. They're the same in season and out of season. This month, next year. Here's another good principle, and that is a good referee starts at the kickoff. They start at the kickoff. What if in a basketball game, the referee went the entire first half without ever blowing a whistle, without ever throwing any flags or calling any penalties? That game's going to be out of control. And I think a lot of times that's what happens to us as parents in our lives. We go the entire first half without ever blowing the whistle or out ever assessing any penalties. And I would just say, one of the things I'm learning and have learned in watching parenting and watching leadership in families is that the time to teach your children the rules and the boundaries is in the first half, in the early seasons of life. Because you know what? You can blow the whistle at a preschooler all the time. they don't really care. They're just like, fine. They don't even know what's going on. You just blow the whistle at them, penalize them. You can blow the whistle and throw flags and call fouls on elementary kids all the time. But I have seen firsthand, and I have watched this happen. When your kids start getting into junior high, when they start getting into high school and they lose their minds, it's a whole lot harder to blow the whistle and assess penalties and throw flags on these kids. And I know some of you right now are thinking in your mind, man, this is good stuff. This is a good message. But Todd, when I needed this was 5 years ago. This is wonderful. It's just a decade late. So what do you do? Well, what if you're sitting here today and you're thinking, this is great, but I'm already in the second half. My family is in the later seasons of life. And the game is kind of out of control. What in the world do you do? I would suggest this. Simply get your family together and call a timeout. Call a timeout. You can call a timeout as a leader in your family whenever you want to. Now, what's a timeout look like? A timeout could look like many things. You can discover that, but may I just suggest that a timeout says, gets the family together in the living room, around the kitchen table, and you say, look, team, look, family, over the first half, over the last few seasons of life, as your dad, I've kind of blown it in a few calls. I haven't been as consistent as I probably should have been with our team. And you just look at your team and say, you know what? I want to apologize, and I want you to know I'm going to improve. I'm going to be more consistent. I'm going to make sure the boundaries for our family are more and more based on the Word of God, and I'm going to learn what a lot of those boundaries are. That's what you do. You just call a timeout, and you say those kinds of things to your team. Here's another good leadership principle, and that is that a good referee actually assesses penalties. Right? They don't just blow the whistle. Sometimes, as dads especially, we just want to get loud and we just want to threaten sometimes, right? We say things like, hey, I'll throw a flag. I will do it. I will throw a flag on you, son. I promise you, don't make me throw this flag. Do you want me to throw this flag? Because I will throw it. I will so throw it, and you throw the flag. And here's what I would say when you blow the whistle, dads, when you throw the flag, go ahead with assessing penalties, because good referees actually assess penalties. Look at this verse. It's incredible wisdom in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. It says, a refusal to correct is a refusal to love. Love your children by disciplining them. Isn't that good? Love your children by disciplining them. And let me just say something about this assessing penalties and calling fouls, because a lot of times in a football game or a basketball game, it's such a public thing, right? The referee blows the whistle and they say holding on number 79 or blocking on number 5, and everybody cheers because they think it's wonderful. And it's very public. But I would just say this, and you can agree with this or not. This is just my opinion. I would say when you're disciplining your team, your family, your kids, as often as you can, it should be done in private, not in public. And I learned that lesson as a dad probably about 8 or 9 years ago, I'd guess. We were having a neighborhood group in our home in Southern California, and there were probably about 12 or 15 people there. There were lots of parents, and the kids were just like going crazy. It was so loud, and so they're running around, and there's a couple parents in our foyer area, and like 5 or 6 kids, and my daughter Ruby was in there. She's really young, 8 or 9 years old, and I kind of grab her, and I kind of pull her over, and I don't even remember what I said, actually. I just kind of laid into her right in front of all those kids and several parents. That definitely calmed things down. We went on with the meeting. Everybody left. That night, I'm upstairs tucking Ruby and Cole into bed, and I get into Ruby's room, and she's very sad. She's very somber, and I say, Ruby, what's wrong? What's the matter? And she looked right at me, and she said this, Daddy, you really hurt my heart tonight when you said those things to me in front of those people. And you know what? That hurt my heart, because I knew I knew that I probably, in retrospect, could have achieved the very same outcome and the very same discipline by just taking her on into another room and doing it privately instead of publicly. And I just want to say to you, dads especially, if you can resonate with this, it is possible to discipline your children without crushing their spirits and dismantling their confidence. A lot of times it means just being effective in private with discipline, not always in public. Here's one last person that we can emulate as leaders and as dads, and that is a coach. A lot of times I think dads are kind of seen as the coach, so this isn't really a stretch. One of the greatest coaches that's probably still coaching today is this guy named Coach K. He's the coach for the Duke basketball team, but he also coaches the United States Olympic basketball team. And about a month ago, I had the privilege of hearing Coach K speak at a Chick-fil-A leader cast. And he talked about the incredible privilege and honor of coaching all of these Olympic athletes. But he talked about how difficult it was too, because they're so talented and they're multimillionaires and they have all these egos and things like that. And he told this story about how in their last campaign of the Olympics, before their big team meeting that was going to kick off the season, he called Kobe and LeBron into a room before, and he said, "Look, guys, tonight at the meeting, I want to ask you guys to help lead the team meeting. And I want you guys to come up with some standards that our team should have when we travel all around the world and when we play." And so he goes into this meeting, and kind of to make a long story medium length, what happens is that all the players, when Kobe and LeBron start sharing these standards, other players start sharing standards as well that they think they should have on the team. And the bottom line is this: the United States Olympic basketball team no longer has any rules. No rules. What they have now is standards. And as I'm listening to that, I'm thinking, man, that's so fantastic. And here's another leadership principle. A good coach implements standards, not just rules. Standards, not just rules. One of the things I've learned as a dad, and I'm still in the midst of it, I'm not there yet, is one of my chief responsibilities is to move from rules when my kids are younger to relationship as my kids get older. Moving from rules to relationship. And as many of you know, that is not an easy thing to do. And I haven't got this all down yet. I haven't woven this into the Clark family. But I'm just thinking, what if our family had standards, not just rules? That's something I'm going to try and weave in this summer because I think it's so brilliant. And here's the difference between the two. Rules are more external and have to be enforced. Standards are more internal and more easily embraced. Isn't that true? If you have rules, they're put on you externally, and somebody's probably enforcing them. If you have standards, they're probably more internal. We came up with a lot of those things, and they're more easily embraced. And so I just think maybe as dads, as leaders, one of the things that can help you and I win is that if we got our family at certain times, not all the time, but at certain times involved with creating standards for our team, for our family. And then here's one last leadership principle, and that is a good coach exhibits integrity. What I mean is his players, his team, his family, his wife, his kids can trust him. The team can respect the dad, the leader. I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but this weekend, there's been a really, really cool kind of story unfolding with Phil Mickelson in the U.S. Open Golf Championship that's going on right now. And I want to just take a moment and read to you just an excerpt from an article that was in the USA Today this weekend. This was written by Christine Brennan, and it's just an inspiring deal that's going on right now, by the way. It says, over the last 14 years, the U.S. Open and Phil Mickelson have had a fascinating bond with each other. This is one golfer who understands and respects the game's national championship and would like nothing more to win it after coming in second 5 times in his career. And yet, as we are learning, this is also one guy who won't let golf get in the way of his family. There's some history here. At the 1999 U.S. Open in Pinehurst, North Carolina, Phil Mickelson wore a beeper in case his wife, Amy, pregnant with their first child, went into labor back home in Arizona while he was on the course. Even though he was playing very well, he said that he fully intended to leave immediately and fly home, no matter what. As it became clear on that rainy Sunday afternoon that Mickelson was going to finish without receiving a message, the next question became this: would he actually win his first major? On that U.S. Open Sunday in 1999, Phil Mickelson and Payne Stewart were tied, heading into the par 3 17th hole, which Payne Stewart birdied. Then on the 18th hole, Stewart rolled in a 15-foot par putt to win. And as the putt rolled in, Stewart punched the air in triumph. But soon he was focusing on Mickelson. Payne Stewart approached Phil Mickelson, and cupping his competitor's face in his hands, he said this: "You are going to be a father, and there's nothing as special as that." The next day, Phil Mickelson's daughter, Amanda, was born in Scottsdale, Arizona, and her father was there. Fast forward now 14 years. Phil Mickelson spent the eve of this year, 2013's U.S. Open, not in the house he had rented in Philadelphia, but at his home in San Diego, where he attended his daughter's eighth grade graduation. And then he got on an overnight flight, landing at 4:30 a.m. for a 7:11 a.m. tee time Thursday morning, beginning his quest to win the U.S. Open. And then the article says this, I love this: "What does Phil Mickelson think this is? Father's Day weekend?" Isn't that great? And then I love this last couple of sentences. It says, "For every athlete who retires and says he wants to spend more time with his family, true or not, we have Mickelson, who has not yet retired, but yet wants to spend more time with his family." You see, that's inspiring to me. And I'm certain that Phil Mickelson is not a perfect guy. I'm not trying to say he's a perfect guy or a superman. He's not a perfect father. But he is fighting for integrity and trust with his family. And it's inspiring. Like this verse in Proverbs. Take a look at this. This is so powerful. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7. It says, "The righteous walk in integrity, and happy are the children who follow them." Isn't that good? The righteous walk how? They walk in integrity, and happy are the children who follow them. Dads, we want you to win this week, next month, next year. Dudes, we want you to win when you become dads. So today's takeaway is just one thing. Today's takeaway for you dads, for you leaders, is simply this: what part of your game needs to improve? What part of your game needs to improve? Our theme around here at CCV this year is step up. Step up. Dads, where do you need to step up? Do you need to be a better groundskeeper in laying out the boundaries for your family? Do you need to step up and be a better referee and being more consistent in your calls? Do you need to step up and be a better coach, striving for integrity and trust with your family? Where do you need to step up? Or maybe you never even really thought about this, dads, but maybe this is the perfect weekend for you to accept a new head coach in your life. Maybe this is a great time to accept Jesus into your life, to be baptized into him, and start a whole new season with a brand new coach. You see, it's not about being a superman. It's not about being perfect. It's about improving. And friends, dads, may you and may I be better dads tomorrow because of the principles that we are learning today. Agreed? Let's pray together. God, thanks for today. Thanks so much for just opportunities we have like this to kind of escape the noise and the busyness of the world and all the voices that are screaming at us, and spending time studying your word and considering these different incredible truths in the Bible, these verses, and also learning what we can from the world of sports, God, which is such a great teacher to us. God, I pray that these principles today would go with us and that they would be impactful on our lives. God, I pray that we would improve day by day by day. God, thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for the opportunity to be leaders in our families and in this world. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Amen.